This is Talking Business.
I'm joined now by Melissa Etiveen, who's the co-founder and co-director of Bondi Chai. G'day, Melissa.
Hi, Alan.
I get the feeling yours is a classic startup. You know, you had an idea, you liked the product, you had an idea, and you went about doing it. Tell us what made you think of chai as a business.
I guess because I'm not a coffee drinker. And when we first tried chai over in America, we'd never heard of it. So we were in Australia and we thought, well, this product isn't in Australia yet and, you know, we like it.
How long ago was that?
2000. We were in the US for the millennium.
I thought chai was here then, by then, obviously
I
not.
I think Gloria Jean's...
I'm not keeping a close eye on chai, yeah. I must confess.
I think Gloria Jean's had just started serving it about a year before, but none of the, you know, on-the-street cafes were taking it.
Right. So you and your partner decided, well, let's do this, did you? Was it as simple as that?
Well, it was like, if not us, it's going to be somebody. So, yeah, how hard could it be?
I imagine, as with all startup entrepreneurs, it turned out to be a bit harder than you expected.
Yeah, but naivety is a really good thing.
Well, it's an essential quality, naivety.
You wouldn't do it otherwise.
You would not do it. Tell us what you did next. Just take us through the steps that you undertook.
Well, we were living in Tasmania at the time, so we just started door knocking and talking to people about chai. Because we had our own life and our own jobs and business at the time.
What, cold calling people?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Started from the bottom up. And
you took with you a sample or just talking to them?
Yeah, right. We had a sample. We contacted the company in America that we'd tried their product and they sent us some product out. And we just went knocking on doors and then finding someone that would help us do it. We didn't want to do it. We didn't see it as a business we would do. We thought it would be, you know, like an interest on the side that we might get involved in, get a bit of a kickback from. But in the end, we had to turn it into a business. So that's when we developed Bondi Chai. We were actually working with another chai to start off with.
How did you turn it into a business? What does that mean? Did you go and get funding from investors?
We mortgaged the house.
Mortgaged the house, right.
We were pretty broke at the time, so no one was going to lend us any money. And I think they called it sweat equity, don't they, where you just do everything yourself?
Well, it certainly is sweat equity, but obviously you needed some cash as well. So how much cash did you need and what did you spend it on?
I think we got about $100,000, and a lot of that went just on developing packaging and getting the first couple of batches made.
And where did you get it made?
Actually in Brisbane, yeah. So we looked around the country for dry powder blenders, which is what we needed, and in the end the people in Brisbane sort of got all excited by it, more excited than us. So that was really great, and we jumped on board with them.
What do you mean dry powder blenders? You mean industrial strength?
Because you need a very big machine to be able to mix all the ingredients together, and there's contract packers and contract blenders out there. So we didn't want our own equipment. We always knew we wanted to outsource everything so that we didn't have a factory and employees and equipment. And so we went looking for people that did that for you.
And did you, the people in Brisbane, did you have to give them equity or just promise them
just,
cash?
Yeah, they just want to see the money. Show me the money.
That's right. Show me the money.
We were pretty passionate, so we could get people excited pretty easily so that, you know, they just jumped on board, which is great.
And why Bondi Chai? Where did you get that from? Because you weren't living in Bondi, were you?
No, we were living in Launceston. But we knew, you know, chai is a very niche product and Australia is a very small market. So the whole idea about giving it an Aussie name was to let Australians know it was an Australian product, but more importantly, let the rest of the world know it was an Australian product. We always planned to export.
Right. So we should probably tell listeners that you and Martin are PR and marketing consultants, so you knew about branding.
Yeah, we knew a little bit about that. That was sort of what we were doing. We knew nothing about food, so... It was handy because obviously PR and marketing can get quite expensive. So we had a bit of a network and we did a lot of stuff on the ground.
Yeah. So tell us a bit about your background. When you say you're in PR and marketing, what sort of businesses were you in? Were you working together or separately?
Together. So we were already sort of life and business partners when we found Chai.
And as PR and marketing consultants.
Yeah. We were working in Launceston. We had a few different clients in tourism and the local Master Builders Association. We did newsletters. We did marketing work for a cruise on the west coast of Tasmania, getting tourists to come and visit. I had some desktop publishing skills. So I used to do a bit of graphic design. Martin's a former journalist. So, yeah, we just had a few mixed bag of skills and we just jump in the car and go see people.
Fantastic. So has Bondi Chai taken over your lives?
Well, that was the whole plan, that we wanted to develop a business that was gave us a lifestyle rather than an income. You know, we wanted to be able to not be stressed out and have thousands of employees and lots of pain. So we loved travelling and we loved spending time together. So Bondi Chai was going to be an exported product, so we'd have to travel overseas. And so we built the whole concept around keeping our life as simple as possible and travelling and talking to people.
Right, so you built the business really to deliver you and Martin the sort of life that you wanted to live.
Yeah, we knew it had to be product-based rather than service-based. We were used to jumping in the car and doing long days and travelling, and we didn't want to do that all the time, and because when you stopped, you didn't get paid. So,
yeah, you needed to not sell your time. You needed to sell a product.
Yeah.
And so, when you say you're not having you didn't want to have thousands of employees. How many have you got?
Including us, there's six of us all up, so we've got four.
All in Launceston still?
No, we're based in the beautiful Port Stephens, and we have two ladies that come to our home office and work with us there, and then we've got another two ladies up on the Gold Coast that work at outsourced level.
Right, so you're closer to Bondi at least.
Yeah. We quite often get calls and people saying, well, just come and see you. We'll say, if you've got 3 hours to spare.
So is it a good margin business?
Yeah. We're a small team. We've got very low overhead. Like I say, we work from home. And so it costs you a little bit more, obviously, when you're outsourcing and getting production, packaging, anything's done. You know, they put their margin on it. But we don't have all the overheads. If we don't need product, we don't order it. So we're not paying for downtime. So, yeah, we have a great life.
Where do you get the ingredients from?
Some of them are local. In fact, most of the product, sugar, milk powder, honey, is all locally sourced. And then the tea and some of the spices come from overseas.
Is it a complicated thing to make? Is the recipe got lots of ingredients?
Yeah. So there's about 9 ingredients. And because a lot of it is spices, they're very, very volatile. So, you know, you can make 1,000 different flavours. So you just have to blend what you want. So every chai tastes different because they all use a different mix and quantity of spices. So it is quite challenging.
So your chai has a particular taste?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so what's your revenue total?
We do about $2 million a year.
Right. And what's the margin? Can you tell us?
Probably it's around 15-20%.
Right. That's all right. So, and the packaging you get done as well? Obviously, you still get it made, presumably, or blended in Brisbane.
Yes.
By those people. What do you do about packaging?
It's packaged in Sydney. Unfortunately, all the blenders are in Queensland, but all the packages are in New South Wales. So we have to ship it around a bit, which is a bit of a challenge. But we've been working with a team in the Endeavour Foundation, so they're like a self-help workshop sort of style team. We've been working with them for about 10 years, and they're just... they're wonderful. They're passionate. They love what they do, and that sort of aligns with our values. So yeah, we've got a really great relationship with them.
And are you exporting?
Yeah, we already have a fairly decent distribution into Europe, a little bit in the UK, a bit in Japan, a bit in Singapore, and we're just about to head off to the US and try and get something going over there.
So what advice would you give to somebody who's thinking, well, I need to do exactly that? I need to have a business that supports a lifestyle and so I can live in Port Stephens and work at home.
You need to find something you're passionate about or you're excited about, because it's hard work. It's not easy. But if you've got an end goal, like we were working towards a lifestyle, we were working towards a bigger picture. So when, you know, things went wrong, you just had to take a bigger perspective. And, you know, I think if it's your own passion and your own dream, it's a lot easier to find energy. And then when you start winning, which takes a few years, when you start getting your head above water, that's where the excitement comes. Our biggest sort of wake up or realisation of what we were doing was winning the Telstra Award. We'd been working, you know, when you're an entrepreneur, you work really hard in your business, you're really focused and you never give yourself a pat on the back. You're not even really sure if you're doing the right thing, you're just doing everything. And to have someone judge you that you sort of respect and say, well, wow, you're doing a great job, it sort of helps you to stop and think, well, yeah, we are, aren't we? I think that was a real turning point for us, is that we found a bit more self-respect. I think we sort of underestimated our ability. But when you have someone say to you, no, you're doing a really good job, you sort of, it elevates your sights, it elevates your goals and your ambitions. And so that really helped us to move to the next level.
When did you win that?
2014.
Right. And were you profitable at that point?
Yes. Yeah, we're all in, actually, we're in major, all the major supermarkets at that point, which was a real roller coaster and a real learning curve. And that lifted our income substantially, it reduced our profit substantially. But it was a major part of, you know, getting the brand out there, getting, you know, a bit more recognition. And then now we're not in supermarkets anymore.
Was that your choice?
Yeah. Actually, it was great. It was in a, you know, we mutually agreed with the supermarkets that it wasn't working for either of us. And so that was a really lovely way to exit supermarkets. It wasn't, you know, no one was pushing anyone out. And then we just had that elevated brand recognition and our elevated confidence in ourselves and a bit further reach, and we've just kept going from there.
I presume you got out of the supermarkets because they were destroying your margins.
Yeah. It was excellent branding, and we knew that. We went in that knowing that it wasn't going to be profitable. It was going to be all about raising our profile, and that's exactly what it did. And, you know, we really appreciate that opportunity, but we're sort of moving on now.
I'm going to have to leave it there, Melissa. It's been fantastic talking to you. Thanks.
Thanks for your time, Alan.
I've been talking to Melissa Edervine, who's the co-founder and co-director of Bondi Chai.